And speaking of snowdrops, let's say hello now to Terry Flanagan, who joins us from his home in Dublin 15. Terry, you were looking at snowdrops recently. A lot of them.
Yes, Derek, I think spring has finally arrived. I don't know about you, but when I think of spring, two things always come to mind. First, it's the sound of the great tit, that beautiful pure call, the teacher, teacher call. And the second thing is the arrival of snowdrops. And February is often referred to as the month of the snowdrops. Now, last year, I headed off to Altamount Estate in County Carlow to see them there. But this year, I headed to Burton House near Athy. Burton House is the only original Quaker house in Ireland that is still lived in by the family that built it. It's now surrounded by 10 acres of woodland gardens, and these gardens come to life in early February with spectacular shows of snowdrops and aconites. The gardens are open to the public and well worth a visit. And last week, I met up with Leslie Fennell, who brought me on a tour of the gardens to see the snowdrop collection there.
Okay, we're going into the wood now, so just be a bit careful, because there's quite a lot of roots.
This is beautiful. I've never been to Burton House before. Tell me a little bit about it first.
Well, it's been in the family for a long time. It's never been sold. It was built in the early 18th century. And it's what the Irish call, rather quaintly and very correctly, I think, a small big house.
Yeah, that's a real Irish term, isn't it?
Yeah.
Small big house.
It was built as a Quaker house because the...
Yeah. Well, this is Fennels, Quaker land, isn't it?
This is all Quaker land. This is Quaker country. It's very much Shackleton country, as you probably know. And the Fennels were very involved with the Shackletons and they intermarried. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, William, my husband's grandmother, was a Shackleton. And anyway, I'm bringing you down here first into the woodland because this is my favourite part of the garden.
And at this time of the year, we always think of February as the month of the snowdrops.
Yes.
And
well,
you have
plenty.
Thousands of them.
Yes. And I think they've probably been here since the house was built.
Yeah.
And they've just expanded and expanded. And then I go on expanding them because what I love about snowdrops is I'm not particularly... I do like the quirky ones and the different ones, and that's interesting. But I'm not a collector of different varieties. I mean, there are a lot of different varieties, but I just like them in their millions, and I like them covering the ground and for as far as you can see. And that's
exactly what you have here. I remember last year I went down to Altamont House, and they have huge varieties of them there. Here... they're all very, very similar. But what I like about here...
Well, I wouldn't call them similar, actually. I think if you look down into them, you'd find there was a great deal of variety.
You might need to be an expert. But what I do like here is that they're everywhere and they're just naturalised.
Yes,
It's not forced planting.
No, they're not all labelled and in little groups.
Mm.
And I think what is unusual about ours is that all down the front avenue, they're all the plicatus snowdrops, whereas most people who have them like that have the nivalis snowdrops. And they're an extremely tall variety.
Yeah.
And they came from my mother. I planted the ones down the front avenue. And I measured one last year that was 23 inches tall.
That's more like a daffodil than it is a snowdrop.
They are immense. And yeah. I only know one other person who seems to have the same variety as that one. And they are there in their millions. They're very prolific. I actually divided them a lot again last year to increase them even more.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you take them up and divide them?
Yes, I do. Not every year. But a lot of, they do spread by themselves, but it hastens it, obviously, if you divide them, and it increases the flowering.
I was going to ask that, do they go blind if you don't divide them? A bit like the daffodils.
Yeah, they can not have quite as many flowers, I think. Mm. But then I'm not an expert on that.
Apart from the snowdrops here, you also have a mass of yellow over here. That's the aconites, is that?
That's the aconites, and I think that's what we are probably most famous for.
Yeah.
They're just like weeds. I mean, they're a strange plant because they either like you or hate you. And we're very limey soil here, and they just love us. And they plant themselves, and the birds, I presume, also drop them because they come up everywhere. I've put them down the woodland now and they're really expanding. They're in the flower beds there, but the main ones are just outside the main house. There's absolutely masses of them. In fact, Seamus O'Brien, who's a friend of mine who runs Kilmacurra, says he reckons there's more here than anywhere else in Ireland.
But what's lovely to get out in the month of February is there's not an awful lot growing, but there are certain ones, like the snowdrops and the aconites. It, just to see them when there are no leaves in the trees, when the woodland here where we're in at the moment is very, very bright, to be able to see them grow. And then they get their life cycle over so quickly, and then, you know, we'll be into May and that we'll be into the bluebells and so on.
The aconites start around Christmas time. Mm. So there's always colour all year. And then they're at their best now, I suppose. And then also with them are the cyclamen.
Yes.
Which are beautiful. And then that goes on and the hellebores are just starting. And then all the anemones come. So the floor of the wood, my aim is to have it completely covered in bulbs.
And of course at this time of the year we're listening to the crows above us.
Yes.
You have
hundreds
huge
of
numbers.
Them. Hundreds of them. I find people come and they're astounded by the noise of the crows. But, you know, I get used to it and I love them. Some people hate them, find them a bit menacing. But I absolutely love them.
We're standing just beside a rookery here. We can watch them coming and going.
Yes.
Wonderful.
It's wonderful. And in the spring, of course, the raucous noise goes on all the time. And the woodland here particularly is chock-a-block with birds of every kind.
You're very lucky to be here, but you do open it up to the public as well.
Oh, we do. Yes, we do.
Tell me a little bit about that.
We started, I suppose I loved the garden because I'm a painter, and the garden and my art are very tied up together. And my mother was a botanical painter, Wendy Walsh. So the gardening was always in my DNA, I think. Anyway, when I came here, there wasn't much garden. But over the years, my husband said quite firmly at the very beginning, if you're going to expand the garden, don't expect me to do anything. So I've dug it all myself, literally, and now there's about 10 acres altogether. Yeah.
No, it's wonderful. I've never been here before. It's an eye-opener, and I'm sure it's an eye-opener for the people who come and visit.
People often make the comment that it's very natural and that it's quite random, and I take that as a great compliment because I just love all the things that live here and that I feel share this place with me, you know, all the birds, all the insects. And I get huge pleasure out of the interconnection of the garden and everything else that lives in it.
Well, you've said it's very random, and that's exactly what I thought. Sometimes you go to gardens and they're very formal, they're laid out and everything has to be in its place and every blade of grass has to be cut. Here, it's wild.
Well, I would call it natural. I hope it's not too wild, but...
But wild is a good word.
Yes, no, it is a good word. Yeah. But luckily, for me, people seem to like that.
Yeah.
And it gives me great pleasure when I hear families walking around and children laughing and you know, they bring dogs and they can go all around the fields because we've now opened the whole... We have a restaurant here and... We've opened all the land with farm walks so people can walk everywhere. And it's just so lovely to think that you're able to share that with everybody. And then the winter shrubs are lovely because they always smell so delightful. The mahonias, you know, go past and you get this wonderful... Yeah.
Beautiful flower, that yellow hanging flower.
Yeah,
farm.
And the different, there's lots of different varieties.
And so important as well for the likes of bumblebees.
Absolutely, which is why they are... smell so much at this time of the year to attract them. But also you've got the saracocca, you've got the you've got the winter sweet, you know, there's lots of things out now if you just look for them.
So Leslie, you're open all year round. People can come down and visit you. You also have a restaurant and a tea rooms here. Well worth a visit, I'm sure.
Yes, well, people often come and literally spend the whole day here.
Right.
And it's lovely to see that everybody's out enjoying themselves. The food's very good. It's organic. We grow all our own vegetables in our vegetable garden, which is a walled garden, and people can wander about that and look at see how everything they're eating is grown.
Well, I can tell you I've thoroughly enjoyed my day here in Burton House. Thanks so much for having us.
You're very welcome. It's lovely, and I hope you'll come back again.
Thank you very much indeed, Terry Flanagan.